This is the Convene Podcast. Welcome to another episode of the Convene Talk, where we discuss interesting stories that appear in our popular newsletter, News Junkie. However, this time is an exception, and Kurt is shortly going to tell us why. My name is Magdalena Tanasova, Digital Media Editor of Convene. So, Kurt, go ahead. Why are we taking a different route this time?
Because I'm a troublemaker. No, I'm Kurt Wagner, the digital editor, and I just thought it would be cool to talk about our cover story about listening and why it's important at events and in life to learn how to listen and to listen. And I did not write a single part of this series, of this group of stories, but I enjoyed reading them, and there's a lot I could identify with in these. So we talked about listening because, as Michelle wrote in the series intro, that if the business events industry is built on knowledge sharing, the loss of our collective ability to listen is a concern, particularly at conferences that seek to solve the world's most pressing problems. It's important for us to figure out how we can listen better at events. But before we get into that part of it, and the sort of the bigger issue, I wanted to bring it to an individual and personal level. And I think one of our stories does that really well, which was the story in which Michelle interviewed Dan Lyons, who wrote the book STFU, The Power of Keeping Your Mouth Shut in an Endlessly Noisy World. And in that interview, he told Michelle that by creating space for others to talk, and if we just listen, we make their lives better. And he calls that a gift. And also a superpower. And I also think it's just polite, to be honest, because, you know, you really get tired of people interrupting you or of people changing the subject the very second you stop talking, like they weren't ever listening to you in the first place, but they had already planned in their head what they were going to talk about and what they were going to say. And he talks about how listening well really does take a lot of practice and sort of self-training and self-discipline and concentration. And it's not an easy thing to learn how to do well. But he says, just shut up. And it really helps. And pay attention. And block everything else out. And I can identify with this because I'm currently taking German lessons because I'm here in Berlin. And I speak some German, but not a lot of German. And I recognize that during those lessons, I have to really concentrate because when I'm being talked to in German, they're all in German, right? So we can't ask a question in English or anything like that. So I have to concentrate on the words that I do understand and figure out their context in the sentence and then figure out how I can say it, what I want to say in response in German with the words that I know. You know, so I'm constructing a different kind of sentence, everything. But the main part of it is that I really have to listen to the context of those sentences in German. So that's really sort of slowed me down and made me just, you know, be all ears and all paying attention and concentrating and everything. So that is my tip to everyone. Study a foreign language in which you do not get to speak English at all or whatever your native language is. But Dan has more tips, which you can find, and I'm sure Maggie will put in the show notes. And the last thing I wanted to say was that in the story, he talks about how he thinks that improved listening will help with networking because people will sort of, whatever little time there is for networking, or maybe there's not, or, you know, if you can block everything out around you, like everybody's having a good time at a networking event, then you can really get to what you want to talk about and have a good conversation and a deeper conversation. And also that it will help something that we've talked about a lot before, which is help women speak up more at events, which, as we know, it does not necessarily happen because men need to learn to shut up and to listen and to make space for everybody else. So I'm sure that everybody has something to talk about, but Michelle, why don't you tell us how this whole thing kicked off?
Sure. Thanks, Kurt. I love what you said about learning another language and having to listen. That's an interesting perspective. So I'm Michelle Russell, editor-in-chief, and I came up with this idea based on a review I read of Dan Lyons' book in which he mentioned interviewing someone from the International Listening Association. Anytime I read about an association that is devoted to something, I could not even imagine people would be devoted to. I'm like on it like white on rice. So I think what was interesting to me, and if we're going to talk from a personal point of view, I feel like I'm an okay listener, but I have recognized one of the things that I do frequently, not out of rudeness, but just when I get excited when I'm talking to somebody or I'm in a group setting and I feel like something has been said and I need to pounce on it or I'm going to forget because that's who I am. I easily forget things. I interrupt. And I don't mean to be rude. It's just like I'm excited to like make sure that what I want to say is really following the conversation at the moment. So one of the tips that one of the people I spoke to, who is Sandra Bowden-Lerner, who is a professor and teaches speaking, did teach speaking, but now she teaches listening, is just write it down. Like just get a piece of paper and just write down your thought before it ends, before, you know, it leaves you. And then you can bring it back when the time is right for you to bring it back. But that is part of the whole listening circle that she and the president of the International Listening Association talked about. I just love that format for events where if you have a contentious issue, it is a structured format for people to go around the circle and present their perspective. But then you get to go around again so that if there is something that you didn't say or you want to respond to something someone else said, you have a turn to do that. So I really felt like there were some good just like takeaways for our industry. And then I'd be remiss by not saying, so we're going to flip the tables and we're going to talk about speaking in our next cover story. So we're going from listening, which is an important part of events, to actually paying attention to how speakers present so that people will listen better to them. So that idea came from Barbara. Ooh, apologies. I have a very active listener in my house. That would be my dog. So Barbara, could you talk about how you came up with the idea for coaching speakers for our next issue quickly, and then go back to the whole listening part.
Yes, this is Barbara Palmer. I'm deputy editor. And it's actually linked to this story because I interviewed Michael Bungay Stenier. He's an expert on coaching. So we talked about coaching, and his contention is that one of the most elemental skills in being a good coach is listening. In the coaching story that we're writing, one of the things that speakers are coached to do is to interact and to have much more time to listen to what the participants have to say. And I thought one of the most interesting pieces of that story's research was that when you talk about something that you're learning, you're much more likely to retain it. So anyway, so to go back to Michael Bungay Stenier, he had the greatest story about how he became interested in listening. He was a counselor when he was an undergraduate. He was a counselor in a hotline for people who were having a lot of difficulty. So he was trained to listen. And he said what he came to understand is the story that people are telling is often not the real story. And so he learned to listen for the real story. And I just thought that was a really great perspective. He paired listening with asking really good questions. And I wanted to just talk a little bit about my own experience with listening. I am a volunteer at a museum here in Oakland, and they have thrown out the docent program, and they have like this program of listening. So we go to the galleries, and we are there. We know the histories, but our role is to be there if people want to talk about it. And it has been so illuminating. It's just such an enriching experience to be there and not try and tell people what you know, but to just hear why they're there and what they know. And I mean, like without fail, I just come away just amazed at the depth that reside in humans that you don't know. You're just seeing the surface.
Pretty cool.
So the thing that Michael Bungay Stanier said about why we want to talk so much is that we think that our value is solving problems and what we know if we're leaders, that that's who leaders are, the people who quick, okay, I hear that, I've got the solution, let's go. And that if you don't take the time to listen, you may not understand what the real problem is. And you also don't know what people have to bring, like what experience, what ideas, what perspectives they have that can help you solve. So I am also a pouncer and I'm embarrassed about it. It's like, I wish there was a mute button for me. I guess there is a mute button. But, you know, because I get excited too. And I also think the opportunity to talk is not going to come around. Like everything's like, oh, we've got this much time. We're moving on. I think if I don't say it now, I'll never get to say it. So I love going to the museum and practicing not having anything to say, just being, my role there is to listen.
I just want to like pounce on something you said, because I think I think one of the things he talks about is taming the advice monster, which you mentioned. I think that also comes from being a parent, and you and I are both parents. And I think that doesn't change as your children get older and become adults, is you have to constantly squelch that urge when they're telling you something to give them the solution. So I feel like that's part of our training as parents, is we feel like we need to be advice givers to everybody. And I like how he says, stop doing that.
Yeah.
No. It gives you also gives you permission to not have all the answers. And that takes a lot of the weight off of you when you feel like you don't have to be the one to provide the solution. So you can just listen and help people arrive at their own solution.
Yeah, I personally think it comes more from, in my instance, just from being a woman and just not being heard. Like just not being listened to in the same way and thinking, I got to get it out there or it's just going to get steamrolled, which is not true. Casey, I'd love to hear what you have to say about listening.
Thank you, Barbara. This is Casey, managing editor. I love what you said, Barbara, about your part of the cover story and that the gentleman you interviewed talked about how important it is to hear what people aren't saying and how that can help you form better questions. I really relate to that because I think as a journalist, listening is probably the most important skill. I think it is more important than our writing abilities, actually, because I don't know about you guys, but the quality of the pieces I write is directly correlated to how good my interview was. And I feel like the best interviews come from when you're able to ask really good follow-up questions and when you kind of leave questions more open-ended and allow people to take it in the direction they want to instead of sticking to a strict script and driving the conversation yourself. I think the best answers I get are usually from the question, is there anything I didn't ask that you want to talk about? And that usually leads the conversation in a totally different direction, things that I didn't think to ask about. And then I'm able to ask even more questions based on their response to that. So I think listening is something that is useful in every single industry and every single interaction. But personally, I related to it in that way.
This is Jen Dean, senior editor. I was really surprised at how much I love this story just because at first I was like listening. I'm like, well, duh, we all do that. But when I read it, I was like, this is really interesting because it really is a skill And I guess a lot of us, like me included, just don't stop to think about all the nuances of it and how important it is. And I really loved reading the story because it kind of just, in my mind, like it did for you, Barbara, and you, Michelle, all of the things that I do incorrectly when I'm listening, which is interrupt or kind of doze off. Well, that might be like my undiagnosed ADHD, but you know what I mean? But I do feel like Casey said, you get so much more out of, if it's involved with your work, which I think for all of us it is, you get so much more out of your job when you're able to do that. I think it made me think of a story I did last year about how the Academy of Chest Physicians actually started an entire educational module for its physicians just to learn how to listen better, because it found that, you know, among certain groups of people, they felt like they weren't being listened to. And that actually, some research pointed to that, you know, they weren't getting the care that they needed. And part of the reasoning is because doctors just weren't listening. And it really wasn't their fault. It, you know, we all know that physicians have an immense amount of pressures put on them. Sometimes it's time, sometimes, you know, they're trying to figure out what's going on. So there's a lot there. But I just thought it was really interesting that they came up with an entire module to help physicians listen better to their patients. It also made me think of something. I listened to a podcast the other day, Armchair Podcast, and they interviewed a journalist and a researcher who just wrote a book called Super Communicators. And what I thought was interesting was the entire book and the podcast was all about how to be a better communicator and what the best communicators in the world, what are their traits and how can we mimic that? And how can we, you know, ourselves become better communicators? And one of the biggest things that he talked about was how important listening is. And so it's like the other side of the coin. If we want to be good communicators, if we want to coach speakers like Barbara's next story, listening is a huge component of that. And I thought what was interesting, often he said that one of the biggest keys to that is not necessarily in how we respond and just the active listening portion of it, but what our bodies do as we're listening, if we're actually physically present with the person, if we're not like on the phone, and what are the kind of cues that we're giving off and whether that's, you know, good or bad. I thought it was interesting because back when I did my yoga teacher training a few years ago, we had this exercise where we would go around the room and everyone would kind of just state how they were feeling, whatever was affecting them. We just kind of let it out. And one of the rules was that we couldn't respond, but we just had to listen. That was it. It was really difficult. And by not responding, we couldn't respond. You know, we couldn't actually say anything. We weren't allowed to even physically signal a response. So no raising eyebrows, no smiling, no, you know, which was so difficult because all of us are yoga teachers. You know, you're trained to be empathetic. Like that's one of the biggest things that you do. And so all of us were just like holding our breaths the first couple of times we did this exercise because it was so difficult for all of us. Because a lot of, you know, it was tough for a lot of people. A lot of stuff comes up in that kind of space. So my point is that it really is an exercise. It really is challenging. And I, you know, for anyone who sees the topic of the story, I encourage you to read it because it might surprise you what you learn from it.
I see a strong correlation between how listening helps us as journalists and how it would help meeting planners. We write about the events industry, but we are not in the events industry. We do not plan meetings. So we're very much outsiders in that way. And our job is to learn about their job and what they do and how they do it and what their pain points are. And I see that being very similar to the position meeting planners are in, because they are often not in the industry of the meetings they're putting on. They're just there to facilitate a great experience for members of another organization without really knowing exactly what challenges they might have. And so it's their job to learn what kind of education they need, how they can best help them, and what makes a great event for them. So I find that very valuable for all different types of jobs.
My two cents to all of this conversation, I'm a huge fan of Michael Bungay's tenure. I first had the pleasure of listening to him at a conference and to experience a little bit of the coaching habit and the questions he suggests people use as managers. And ever since, I've tried to incorporate them in my life, pretty much not only at work, but in everything that I'm doing. And it's truly a skill. It's truly a muscle you have to work on a daily basis and remind yourself to give space to the other person. And recently I saw also a post on LinkedIn that was about a four-step advice protocol. And I thought how well it relates to the taming the advice monster that MBS calls it. So there's a little story I'm going to link in the show notes about that and the four steps you can take. And after each step, the thing is you have to listen and really allow space for the other person to figure things out. And as a manager, I've done that, and it's truly transforming. It's a very hard thing to do, to give the space and to start with the question, what's on your mind? But it's so enriching and empowering for the other side. I hope our listeners would read the story or listen to the story, because we also had it recorded as a convene article. And unless any of you has anything else to add.
Another reason I really love this package was that I think there's so much valuable tips, you know, sort of tips and just practices and stuff in each of the stories. I thought each of the perspectives gave some other part that was really a good thing for people to listen to and hear and understand and practice.
Yeah, I'm there with you. And I know that everyone that has read the story or listened to the story and the whole package has really enjoyed it. And everybody is really, I think, a bit more mindful after reading it or listening to it, that it's a practice. It's not just something we naturally do, because apparently we don't.
And that's the important thing, right? Be aware of it. Be aware of what you do and how you can, you know, to slow yourself down and pay attention and concentrate on somebody else.
All right. So thank you all for this discussion, adding a bit more nuance to the cover story. And to our listeners, pun intended, don't forget that you can support us by subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next time.